And this was one of the cases, you know, I felt so much reminded on when I was working in film festivals still, because I've sent out the program and 2 days later, Peter Smith wrote me an email, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel my lecture. And this was like 3 weeks or 2 weeks ago. And I said, oh my God, that's something you don't want to experience as an event manager. And Hannes Tschütz, who is a very close friend and collaborator here at university, he suggested that I invite Fushina Shep, and I did, and you were so lovely, and so well, of course I'm coming, and it's interesting, and thank you, and it was such, I love that way of collaboration, so thanks again for that short notice that you took time. You're very busy with your festival right now, I know that, you're gonna tell us. So Fushina Shep, I think it's another approach than Peter Smith would have given to us for music festivals. Fushina is a very experienced manager, artistic director of music festivals. She has been working for a long time, I don't know the years exactly, for the Sziget Festival in Budapest, which is very well known, very renowned. I guess some of you have heard about it. And in 2014, Lollapalooza was established in Berlin. Originally, it's from Chicago. And the organizers of those who established Berlin in Berlin, I don't know who that were, they asked Fushina to design Lollapalooza in Berlin. So it was like a big step, I guess, in every sense. Not a step, but a big change for you. And we are going to see about Lollapalooza internationalization perspectives in Berlin and whatever you want to tell us also about the links between Western and Eastern Europe, which is something you emphasize in your CV, which I also find very, very important, because if you check on your minds, I don't know how near you would feel, culturally speaking, to Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary. I think we still have like dominated ideas of which cultures we refer to in our heads. So I think it's also very important to open up that topics, and festivals are also appropriate for that. So long speech for me. It's your speech now. Thanks again, Fushina. I so much look forward to hear what you're telling us. Oh, and afterwards, it's not me, it's Matea. Thanks so much. She's doing the Q&A afterwards. So great, thanks.
Maybe I start here. So first of all, hello everybody. Guten Morgen, wünsche ich euch. Bonjour à tous. I heard that there are some French speaking colleagues here in the room. I do also afterwards, when we finish the lecture, I do also speak German. So if some of you wants to talk to me in German, that's also fine. But I know it's an international course, so I'm happy to speak to you in English. And before I start, well, first of all, thank you, Irina, again for this invitation. Well, it came very rapidly, but what I told her is, you know, when I got this invite, and obviously Kufstein is, well, I live in Berlin, so Kufstein is not very much the neighborhood, and we are really in the middle of the busiest period of preparing Lollapalooza. But when I read your email and I heard about this course and the topic of it, I felt like, yeah, this is something that should be supported, because I think these courses, and especially these topics, also in my world, are very important. And I will not tell you now why I think that, because I think you will all understand after my lecture why I said this. But before that, also to wake up, I wanted to show you our very short after movie from the first European Lollapalooza Festival that we did last year in Berlin.
Bye.
around your waist. You're the balance that will keep you safe.
In the game, catch your body, that's the heartbeat. I'm the Ducati, Timberland, Cadillac, Scott Storch, Burberry, goddamn man, everybody got Bugattis. But I'ma keep it hella like 1087, head into the dealer, just another second cup of Kawasaki. I'm spending on everybody, hella raw pesto wasabi. I'm so low that my score, I'm almost dragging up on the concrete. The speed is leather, I ride a line, it's plenty of a girl, we can still ride together. You don't need an Uber, you don't need a cab, fuck a bus pass, you got a moped, man. She got 1988, I carry here, very rare. I'm taking my derriere, throwing up the west side, air in the air, stop my pipe place, throwing fish to a bird.
Downtown.
So, my dears, are you awake enough? You know, every time when I watch this video, I do realize, yes, it is still very good and it's worth all this stress and the energies investing into at least 11 and a half months before you have a festival. Because when I see these pictures, I always realize, yes, that's, you know, this is the energy a festival should have, and that's the how to say, like, when I see the, you know, the faces of the people who are at the festival, our guests, the ones we organize the festival for, and they are happy, they have a great time, they're enjoying, they're sharing great moments. That's our
payment. You know, it's not even the monthly salary that we are getting. Of course, that's also important, but as a festival promoter, as a festival organizer, I think that's the most important award that we can get if our audience is happy and satisfied. So what I wanted to talk to you about today, well, I think maybe speak very long and a lot. When we speak about festivals, I'm in this industry since 20 years now, and I'm still in love with this industry. I love music. I love performing arts. I'm very happy to be able to say that my job is also my hobby, that my passion is organizing open air events, and it is also a privilege, obviously, but it's also a very big responsibility, because I also realize that we have the possibility to create dreams for people. We have the possibility to create emotions, and that is a very big responsibility that we are taking. And because when you look at the festival, it's a space for a couple of days where people from different age groups and different nationalities meet together, and they share the same emotions. They share the same experiences, and sometimes the audience when they arrive to a festival, maybe they don't feel so well. They are frustrated about something. They're not in a very positive mood. But when you start in your mind to arrive to a festival and to you arrive on site and you come into a totally different world. It is an unusual world compared to the world that you are living in. And I so much hope that with our festivals we have the possibility to even change the mental state of a human being at the festival. And if we as festival organizers, if we take good care that our festivals are a space to enjoy, then I truly believe in that that we can give something back to our audience, and then they will leave our festival as our true supporters and our fans, and that maybe we even have the chance to change their thinking about some kinds of a performance that they have seen and that they have enjoyed, maybe never seen before, but at the festival they have just by coincidence they were watching a street theater performance or a circus performance, and they have never seen such thing before, but they realize, wow, that's also something I so much enjoy. And when they leave the festival afterwards, they in their normal life they will also go and look for such performances and buy those tickets and go to such performances. And I know Verena wanted to ask me to talk also about the term internationalization. Wow, what not so easy to say. I would like to speak about two things. One is first of all Europe, because in the last 20 years the festival landscape in Europe became very, very colorful. There are more than during a summer period, because that's obviously the key period for festivals. In Europe, we have I don't know the exact number, but at least over 5,000 festivals between June, July, August. It's a huge number, and in those summer festivals, they're usually open air festivals. These events are mainly music festivals, but luckily, more and more festivals they also dive into different genres. So they're not only focusing on music, but they also try to implement art forms like street theater, performing arts, literature, contemporary dance, art installations. They look how they design a festival, and also the term look and feel. That's also some kind of a term. I don't know if you have heard that before, but it is also a term that it's very new. When I say new, it's like in the last 3 to 5 years, more and more festivals do take care that a festival should have a look, a design.
a festival should have a feel. That means a feeling. So when you come to the festival, you immediately feel the creative thinking, what the team had with that festival. Because it's also very important that that a festival becomes a place for it's an experience, and that the festival has an identity. And an identity you can create mainly, of course, with the lineup of the festival, but your true identity, you can create it with your design and the way you shape and you create the outlook of your festival. And many times, that's also something I experienced, that when you have a team, a festival team, of course, you have a marketing team, you have the financial team, you have the production team who are in charge to build up the festival. Also with the you know sound and lights and everything that you need to build up those cities for those couple of days, and you have the booking division. Those are the people taking care of the program, and many times the person who is in charge of the music program is not always the person in charge for creation. For creating the artistic content, but still today, these people are usually it's still one person, and I very much hope that also maybe some of you among here will become festival organizers and that you can become part of a team supporting the programming team with your creative ideas, with your artistic ideas, and then with the team who's in charge for the music programming. So when these two match, and when these two or the when that team is one, then that's I think that's one of the most exciting phases in the festival creation, when you start discussing and exchanging your ideas. And also, when I say creating the identity of a festival, many times in a team, in a festival team, like in Berlin, we have approximately 50 people. So it's a pretty big team, because we have in total six festivals, and Lollapalooza is one of it. But in that team, there are so many creative people, also colleagues who are not necessarily working in the booking department or in the program department, but I have great conversations with my colleagues from even from the financial department or from the marketing department or also the production department, and these are also creative minds, and sometimes they are, you know, maybe not they don't believe in themselves that, oh, yes, I have an idea, but oh, these other people, they, I mean, they do that anyway. I'm maybe it's not a good idea. And I experienced that in my past years, that yes, in your team, go and search, because many times there you have creativity lying there that should be discovered. And so with our festivals all over Europe, nowadays also because of the change of the of the record industry, festivals, open air festivals, are they are the main surface for music and arts to be presented. So it has been a very strong shift, and especially when we talk about bands, music. That's where the artists mainly earn their money from. That is what drives the music industry. And when you have a festival, like especially like a big festival like Lolla, of course we have to focus also on headliners. You know, big names, big artists, stars that are on top of our bills. Like this year we have, just to give you some examples, Radiohead or Kings of Leon, Major Lazer, and I could I could do the whole list now, but it's those artists, they cost a lot of money. And every year, the rise of our budget, of our booking budget for the especially for the musicians, it's enormous. So it's a very big I would say how do you say last burden. Thank you. You know, to cope with this, because we have to obviously, before you start a festival, you have to create your festival budget, and you have to make sure that the booking budget is a very stable and a very high amount. And our festivals in Europe, they are not only a surface for artists, for musicians. They are also a place to create awareness for culture and to create awareness for performing arts. And this is also something that is very dear to my heart, to tell you honestly, because my background is mainly music. But a couple of years ago, I, especially still on those in those 8 years, I was the program and artistic director of the Sziget Festival in Budapest. I also realized that we need to do something else. It's not only music, because there's so much else out there that should be featured. Therefore, we started to focus to create more and more artistic content for the festival. And the artistic content was creating a venue for a contemporary circus. It was something like creating a venue for contemporary dance, contemporary theater, contemporary literature, a space for to feature African and Afro Latin artists to show their culture, their dances, their traditions. We even had a venue for Roma culture, the Gypsy culture, to show where they come from, what is their culture, their traditions. And we even had a venue that was called the Magic Mirror, and that was a space where we featured gay and lesbian and transsexual artists, and we showed. We gave them a space to show their art, their background, their history, their traditions. And I became a huge fan of creating large-scale street theater performances on the festival, and small street theater performances, and giant art installations. I think that is too much information now, maybe, when I look at your faces, but it's what I want to express with, of course, it did not happen in 1 year. You know, those things, it's always a process, because you also have to see here how do you build up your festival, how you build up, again, the identity of your festival by creating extra artistic content to the festival. Is your festival a good surface for it? Is it a good space to feature such artists? Is it necessary to do this? I tell you this, or I kind of ask you this also, and I ask myself every day these questions, because not every festival has to be like this. There are so many festivals who really say, no, our main thing is music, and we don't want to have anything else. That's fine, absolutely fine. That's also a way, you guys, you are the future generation of festival organizers, if you want to become festival organizers. But it's, you know, it's here, it's in your head and here, in your heart. These two things are so important, of course, what you feel in your stomach. Because we speak about art, we speak about culture. We are not robots, you know. We are not machines. Obviously, we have to tackle loads of things with finances and
and severe weather situations and all that stuff. But when you are organizing a festival, an event, like an artistic event, any type, it is a culture creation. The human needs to be behind that. The emotions have to be behind that. And your vision has to be behind it. What is your vision behind your event? And my vision behind, I would say, every event that I had the chance to be working together with, and especially now with Lollapalooza, the vision was very strong to create something individual, something really special. And that, in my view, is a mélange, is a mix of music and performing arts. And a third thing, food and beverages. And this is also something that many people forget, that when you go to a festival, what do you want? So you want to see great bands, you want to see great shows, you want to see great performances, you want to have a great time, obviously. You come mostly with your friends or your loved ones, or you come alone, and 5 minutes later you meet immediately new people and you become friends with. But of course you want to eat something good, qualitative, and you want to have some good drinks. So nowadays that's also something super interesting, that more and more festivals, they do take care of how their food courts are designed, what food they offer. We become so. It's not only, you know, the currywurst and the hot dogs or the döner kebab that should be, or the
pizza slices, which are obviously very important, but it's also important that we offer something very qualitative to our audience, with food and with beverages. And in my world, food and beverages are as important as the artistic programming. And one more thing is the how you design or how you create your entrance and exit situations, and also how you design and create your toilet situations. You know, and when we think about it, you know, when I also thought, like, really with Lollapalooza, I had in the first time in my life the possibility to think of a festival from ground zero, because it was the first Lolla in Europe. It has never been before. So when you have this possibility, I my dears, I wish you so much that you have one day this possibility to be in a team where you can create a festival from ground zero. Because there, it's like building a house. You have to think of so many things. And it's a very detailed thinking. And when we started to talk with Lollapalooza, also where, okay, we knew the festival site, where it is. And when we started talking about, okay, where we place this, where we place the stages, where we place food and beverages, and yeah, where we place the toilets. And then we thought, yeah, but I mean, we designed that festival so nicely, and even we have our own creative identity, we have our own design, or the main stage one is the red stage, main stage two was the yellow stage, and we had design and artwork for every single venue. So we decided, okay, let's have a design for the toilets. And you can imagine, I mean, some of my dear colleagues, they're not so much into design or arts. And they were, of course, thinking, okay, now she maybe becomes totally crazy, and this will be one big design bubble, the whole thing. But then when we talked about it and we went deeper into it, we realized that, yes, why not do that? Why not including also the toilet sections into our CI? CI is creative identity. That's the phrase for it. So we did it, and it worked. because they you are not because many times, you know, these toilets, they don't look so nice anyways, but when you create something with them and they become part of this creative identity, then it's they become a part of the festival. And what I said with the entrance and the exit situation, those are the first contact points of a festival. That is the place where everybody comes in, and that's also the place where everybody leaves. So when you create like an entrance gate, which is again designed, you put there some words that say welcome, maybe not only in one language but in many languages. So that's what we did. Our welcome structure had welcome written in approximately, I think, 30 or 40 languages. And the same goes for the exit area. You know, we don't have to learn a new language. It's a gesture. And that is also something that I think is important when you want to work in this industry, to think human and to give give gestures, to give something back to those people who are buying your tickets, and they buy this ticket because they trust you, that you do a good job. And when and still talking about Europe and the European landscape, in the past, and also what Verena, what you were saying, obviously Western Europe has a much richer festival history. We have festivals like the Paleo Festival in Switzerland. Last year celebrated the 40th anniversary. Glastonbury also 2 years ago celebrated its 40th anniversary. Open Air St. Gallen Festival, again a festival here close to in Switzerland, they celebrate this year their 40th anniversary. And I could name a couple of more who have this rich tradition of already 40 years. And in Central Eastern Europe or Eastern Europe, this history is not so old. So the first festivals started only 20 years ago, mainly also after the change of the communist regime. And we have by now, when we speak about countries like Hungary, Serbia, Slovakia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Czech Republic, Poland, just to name a few, in these last 20 years, there has been a very big development when we speak about festivals. Like maybe you have you heard in Serbia the Exit Festival? Have you heard? Yeah, super amazing festival. I call them my Serbian brothers, because I know the organizers so well, and the Exit Festival is in a fortress. Very difficult venue to create a festival. If you have a chance to go there once, go and see. It's very special, and the people organizing it, they do take care that it's an amazing festival experience. Or for example, in Slovakia, the Pohoda Festival. Pohoda, go and look for it if you haven't. Also, an amazing. They celebrate their 15th anniversary this year. It's in Trenčín. It's at the airport field. Great people behind that festival, or the Open Air Festival in Poland. Gdynia, have you heard of that? Well, my dears, there is something to discover, I think, in Central Eastern Europe. It's called Open Air, and it's in Poland. Rock for People in Czech Republic. not okay. These are some ideas that that could be or maybe should be discovered by you if you want to work in this industry, because these are all events who are they became big, they became strong, and they are and these festivals shaped the cultural landscape of Central Eastern Europe a lot. Because these events, usually in these countries, you have mostly only one or two big festivals of that size, but they are becoming, you know, the main culture event of that country. And obviously, you know, in Hungary we have the Sziget Festival, which is the biggest one, but Hungary luckily has also a couple of more smaller festivals, which are also very important. And when I speak also about Lola, you know, this festival has a history of 25 years, and it started in Chicago, in the United States. And this year will be the 25th anniversary. And a couple of years ago, the owners and the organizers of Lollapalooza, they established a concept to take the brand Lollapalooza outside of Chicago, outside of the United States. And 6 years ago, they established the first Lolla in Santiago de Chile. 4 years ago in Sao Paulo in Brazil, and 3 years ago in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So, and this year we will even have one Lollapalooza in October in Bogota, Colombia. And last year, so in 2015, was the very first one in Europe, and that was Berlin. Why they maybe you would like to know why they have chosen Berlin? The organizers and the owners they felt like that Berlin is, in their eyes, in their views, somehow the creative and cultural hub of Europe. And they very much wanted to be in that city, and also because it's interesting to see that Berlin never had a big open air music festival before, and that's actually interesting, and that's also one thought I wanted to share with you, that music festivals or festival, like, let's speak about music festivals, they usually take place in cities, in main in capital cities or close to capital cities, also in old airport fields or areas where you have big space, also space where you can camp, and space that is easy to reach. But when you have a festival in a city, That's something very different, because then somehow the festival and the city they strengthen each other, because the brand of the festival, if it's a good festival brand and if it's a good festival, it can strengthen the brand of the city, and vice versa. If the festival that takes place in a city that is also interesting, it's touristically interesting for people to come there, then that city strengthens very strongly the brand of the festival. And you know, like with Lollapalooza, that happens now. So it's the festival itself is also called Lollapalooza Berlin, and the city of Berlin And also, in my views, it's an amazing city. It's a city where it's actually a 365 days festival, Berlin.
incredible what there are so many things happening there every day. And our audience, like our visitors, last year we could see that they did not come only for the festival. They came already 2 days before and stayed also a couple of days later. That means they come not only for the festival, they come also to stay in the city and to experience the city, to enjoy the city. And it's also interesting for the income that is generated, because these people are spending their money in the city. They're staying in hotels, in hostels, they are eating in bars, restaurants, and this is something that generates an income that is very valuable for these cities where festivals take place. And another thought that it's a cooperation. When you organize a festival, this is also something we discussed very shortly yesterday evening. You're not only organizing a festival, you have to deal with authorities, you have to deal with organizations, you have to deal with neighbors, you have to deal with sound emission, you have to deal with social issues, you have to deal with sustainability, you have to deal with electricity, you have to deal with so many things in as one. And you are, as a festival organizer, you are also sometimes, well, not so many times, become also a diplomat, because you are representing your festival, but you are also in charge for protecting your festival, and you are also in charge to understand the other people working in these official institutions who are supporting you and helping you to organize your festivals. And you have to create a very stable and a very good and a very human dialogue, because these authorities, they are there to help you, and we need them as festival organizers, especially if you are working or placed in the middle of a city. And that is something that I realized now, or that not only me, but our whole team, because the video that you saw, it was from last year, it was from the old airport, Tempelhof. And in December last year, we got a phone call that we have to look for a new venue, because Tempelhof was the main place to welcome the refugees. So just swallow that thought for a second. I almost had a heart attack, and when we got this phone call. Obviously, not because of the refugees, because they need all of our support, but to realize that now we have to look for a new venue, and it was already December, that is something not very easy. Because you have seen the pictures, like last year we had 50,000 people per day, and to create such a space, also the logistics that are connected to a festival, you cannot find a space, you know, like that. So it and even a big city like Berlin does not have so many space that is suitable to create such a major event. So it took us almost 2 months to find a new space, and it was a very close and very good cooperation with the city. That's why I told you this before, that it's important how you cooperate with the city authorities, because they helped us, they supported us by finding a new venue. It was not easy, and
by mid-February, we found a space. It's called the Treptower Park. It's in the middle of Berlin in Kreuzberg, very central area. It's a big park, beautiful park. But here, the challenges, and we are facing big challenges, I can tell you, because it's a park in the middle of the city, and it's also there are parts of the park that are under nature protection, and there. So one side of the park is the Spree, is the river, and the other side of the park is we have neighbors very close to the park. So when you are creating your evacuation plan, do you know that phrase? That's a super important part in the security plan. You won't get a stamp when you don't have a proper evacuation plan. So where can we evacuate our audience? Well, definitely not into the water. We are at the moment, we are with the production team, we are finding out the ways, and together with the authorities, how to create this evacuation plan. We are sitting on this since weeks, and it's still not ready yet. And one more interesting thing, and then and this is also about diplomacy. In the middle of this of the Treptower Park, which is really a beautiful park, is the biggest Russian memorial from the Second World War, and there are 7,000 soldiers buried there. So this is another challenge that we are facing, because obviously it's a monument. We take it with dignity, and we have to protect it from the inside and the outside. But here we have to talk and negotiate directly with the embassies of those families of those soldiers who are buried in there, and it's many embassies, like the Russian embassy, the Belarus embassy, the Ukrainian embassy, the embassy of Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Armenia. So these are the talks that a festival organizer also has to do or has to face. And one thing I because I think we have to, because there will be also some Q&As. But I wanted to share something with you, and that's also in Europe and in as European festival organizers, we have a great organization that is called Europe, and because we call also ourselves a festival family. Although everybody works in its own field, in its own country, we are not working against each other. We help each other. We support each other. And with this organization, last year we had in December in Karls, in Tirol, we had our first European festival conference where we came together for 3 days. And we had sessions like this where we talked about very important things like severe weather, the rise of booking fees, how can we make our festivals greener and more sustainable, how can we create social projects together with our festivals, helping humankind. So such topics we were discussing, and we were about 80 colleagues from all over Europe, and at the closing of this of these 3 days, we said we would like to create a mission statement for the European festivals for ourselves. What are we European festival promoters? What do we stand for? And if you, my dear colleagues, future colleagues, I would like to sum up my this morning talk in something that I would like to share something with you. And this is our mission statement of European Festival Promoters. But for this, I would like to ask you all to close your eyes. We are European Festival Promoters, bringing culture, music, art, and design to millions of young people every year. Our events are a peaceful and joyful get-together of many different people in a limited space over a limited time. Together with our audience, we are a community through our passion for music, culture, and through our love of festivals. We want to be ambassadors of the European idea. We want to be an example for the togetherness of different people from different countries, no matter what gender, what race, what religion, what sexual orientation or origin these people have. We stand for acceptance and cultural diversity. Our business involves social responsibility. Our aim is to be fair. We stand for high awareness in sustainability, ecologically, socially, and economically. We want our ideas of a peaceful cultural diversity to influence the future generation. Through our partners, we want to spread our message into politics and make an impact in a positive way. We connect people through culture. We are bound through the collective thought of a common goal. We want to exchange, educate, learn from each other and spread the message. For the future generation, for the future of Europe, for a strong community, not only in the festival sector, but all over Europe. Thank you, my dears, for listening to me.